Awesome. All righty. Well, welcome to Prophetic Ministry 101. I'm Cindy Hatcher. If you're new, there's a few faces in here I haven't seen or met before, so you are so welcome. I'm glad you guys are here. We are recording these sessions, so if you need to re-listen or hear, they'll be available on the website, legacynb.com. And real quick, just keeping track of business, those of you who are training for our prayer, altar prayer ministry team, if you guys still have assignments and things that are out there, make sure that you get those turned in to Catherine ASAP so that we can get those going. We really want to be able to establish a good foundation for our prayer team. And so prophetic ministry is something that we're moving into next. We just finished up healing, how to pray for healing. So if you missed out on any of that, you're welcome to go to the website and listen to all of those. They're all available online as well. I'm going to be using as a foundation Chris Vallotton's Basic Training for the Prophetic Ministry book. This is what it looks like. You don't have to get the book, but I certainly highly recommend it. And another new favorite that I haven't been able to get through yet. I'm one of those that reads four or five books at the same time, so it's just one of those things. But Translating God, Sean Boltz's Translating God is a really great prophetic ministry teaching book as well. And pretty much anything from Graham Cook. He does prophetic ministry too, but pretty much anything is prophetic when you read Graham. So, because he is all about identity and intimacy. So if you are wanting to really dive into prophetic ministry and what that looks like, those are really great resources for you. My favorites anyway that I will plug. But we are going to walk through this book. I'm not going to teach straight out of this book. I'm actually going to use it just kind of more like an outline for me, just to kind of remember where I'm going. I first got introduced to prophetic ministry when we were first prophesied over in about, I think it was 2001, and we went to a local church in our city where we were at, and Bill Johnson was there ministering, and he had his little team up, and they did healing stuff. But then afterwards, we were at the book table, and my husband had gotten his shoulder healed, like after 12 years of having a torn rotator cuff, and it was crazy good. And so I was at the book table, you know, hungry and looking for stuff, and one of his students or interns prophesied over us. And then we took off running. And so ever since, I have been hungry and studying the gifts of the Spirit and the move of the Spirit, because I came out of a church denomination that didn't talk about the Holy Spirit. And so it's my favorite thing to do is to tell people about the person of Holy Spirit and about his generous gifts that he gives. Prophetic is a gift. It is not a reward. Different people will have different levels of gifts. You can have all of them, though, when you have Holy Spirit. They are the children's bread. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit belong to him to give freely. And I think that when you ask, well, you receive not because you ask not, is scripture, right? So let's ask. And if you can have it, why wouldn't you, is my question. But just as we walk through prophetic ministry, I am acutely aware of lots of different backgrounds that people, that some of you may have in terms of prophetic ministry. This may be like old news to you, which is fabulous, but for some people it may be brand spanking new. So I'm going to try to make sure that we can cover every spectrum of that, right? Like, but I really don't want to jump over too much if you're brand new to the prophetic ministry, because it was hugely important for me to get really solid teaching and understanding, especially when I had seen and heard some various ways that the prophetic ministry has been done. And as a counselor, I've seen spiritual abused people who I've had to minister to and minister inner healing with. And so it is extremely important to me that we move in love in everything that we do. And so I will say that to you on a real regular basis, that if you will just love the person in front of you really well, I don't really care about your gift. Because love is the most powerful gift that we have, right? Like, it is God himself. And so the most important thing you can do is just move in love. If you have not love, you're a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. You're just making noise. Okay? So the purpose of prophetic ministry is looking for treasure. Now, there is a difference between Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy. We are moving in the New Covenant. This is the New Testament. This is all about the Father's heart being expressed to his children. Okay? And so it's really, really important that a foundation stone is that we are looking for treasure. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen those gold digger, kind of shows where they're like, you got to scoop up a whole bunch of dirt and sift it, in the river thing or whatever, and then you might get a couple little nuggets, right? Well, people are just like that sometimes, aren't we? So sometimes we have to filter through some stuff to get to the gold nugget. But when you have eyes to see the way that the Father sees, you always see the gold. He sees past all of that stuff, right? Because that's what Jesus did for us. He made us white as snow. So we have to be able to learn how to see the way the Father sees, to speak the way he speaks, and to hear his voice so that we can communicate what he is saying, not what we're saying, not what we see, okay, but what he says and sees. So true prophetic ministry is looking for the gold in the midst of the dirt in people's lives. Now, I've seen prophetic ministry call people sin out. That is not what we will do here, okay? When the scripture says, let me find it. He redid his book, so let me see if I'm using somebody else's book today. Oh, here it is. In 1 Corinthians 14, 24 through 25, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or ungifted man enters the room, he is convicted by all, is called to account by all, and the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now, some people have taken that and looked at it like you're on your knees in repentance, right? Because they've called out all of your sin. Hey, you, this is all the junk in your life, and God is saying, clean it up. That is not our Father. Okay, he knows all that stuff. That is not true prophetic ministry. And here's the thing. Even if you were given the secrets of a person's heart in that negative way, then you need to go to the Father and ask him how precious, number one, that he would reveal you this deep place in somebody. But to reveal the Father's heart is to reveal the answer to whatever the problem is that you're seeing. Do you understand? So sometimes some people will move in being able to see things on people in the negative. The discernment of spirits, we'll talk about some of that later, but being able to discern the heart of a man and even the demonic or negative things on a person, even when you can discern those things, that is not prophecy to call that stuff out. That's just mean, okay? That's just blatant cruelty and shaming, and that is what the accuser does. Satan's name means slanderer and accuser, and that is what he does. And so if you want to repeat what he does, then you're in the wrong camp, okay? So we are in the Father's camp, and everything that we're going to do is move in the heart of the Father and with love. When you have children, you want to see them grow higher, farther, greater. I mean, you want to see the best for them, okay? And that is the heart of our Father. And so we want to make sure that we are looking for the treasure in the lives of people, okay? It's extremely important that now we have a Savior. He paid for everything, and there is identity that he is wanting us to call out of people. So when it says in Scripture, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever, an ungifted man enters, and he's convicted by all, he is called to account by all, and the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he'll fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you, because you would reveal the secrets of their heart, meaning the very desires of their hearts, the things that have been stored away inside of them that they don't even know if they're good enough, or a dream that they have that might have died off, or some secret hope or some longing that they may have, right? Like, that is what they're talking about. When you move into a company of prophets and you move in and you hear all this stuff that the Father is like, I mean, can you just imagine? I just dream this, where new people come in and this happens. This means all are prophesying and going, hey, this is what the Father says about you. Oh my gosh, yeah, and I see this about, and I see this, and I see this blessing is coming upon your life, and I see this coming out of you, and you're gonna do this great thing because this is the greatness that God put inside of you. Could you imagine getting pummeled by 20 people telling you how awesome you are? And the secret secrets of your heart that you wouldn't share with people because you just weren't sure if maybe that, you know, it's just kind of silly, maybe. I don't know. Anybody else dream like that? I don't know. I'm kind of like, well, you know. I mean, just saying. So if you have prophets in the house who find you, you're being called to account. All the secrets of your heart disclosed, you fall on your face and you worship God because he's so good. Because it's the goodness of God has come upon you. Because the love of God has come upon you when people, you know, when it says, I love this part, and he talks about falling short of the glory of God. You know, we hear that and we're like, oh, we fell short. You know, we sinned, we screwed up, we messed up, or whatever. But what it's saying there is, if you fall in short of the glory of God, it means he wants to get us back there. He wants to get us back to the place where we're in the glory of God, right? The glory of God has come upon you. So what prophecy, what prophetic ministry is about revealing the greatness of God inside of you and the glory that is in you, that he put in you, that he wants revealed through you. He wants to work through you. He wants to be in you, and he wants to work through you. So when the glory of God is being revealed, you know, that's what he's talking about. That's Romans 3:23. So, prophecy will bring people into a revelation of the glory that God has assigned to them. That's amazing. Okay, this is the foundation of God's goodness, right? That instead of calling out people's sin, we should tell them that the glory of God that he has intended for them to live in. So the exposure will bring conviction in their lives that they're living below the glorious standard that God has for them. That you're living less than, you know? Like if I told you, hey, we just found out that, you know, you have an inheritance. There's a Swiss bank account that has like $1 million in it. It's got your name on it. You're just going to leave it there? You know, there's a rich inheritance for the saints available to us. So prophetic ministry will also bring you into a more intimate place in the Father's heart. It's about reconciling your heart to him. Prophetic ministry should draw you to God. It should be an invitation to wanting to know more about him as he speaks identity and his goodness over you. That is prophetic ministry. So there is in Acts 2:17, the scripture that says, and it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all flesh, all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. This began at the day of Pentecost, and it's been continuing ever since. And in Acts 2:17-21, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and the signs in the earth. Blood, fire, vapor, smoke, the sun will be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come, and it will be that everyone who calls on the Lord will be saved. Okay, so the prophetic was, I'm just going to mention this. The prophetic was not intended for the day of judgment, because it's going to be no good at that point. Like I talk about the gifts of the Spirit, you know, we're not going to need them in heaven. We're not going to need the gifts of healing. We're not going to need prophetic ministry. We're not going to need those things in heaven because, I mean, it'll be a moot point, right? We're in heaven. We won't need them. So we really need, the gifts are for here. The gifts are for today. They're for us to be able to learn how to get to know Holy Spirit, how he speaks to us, and to be able to advance the kingdom of God. When you advance the kingdom, you advance the king's domain. You advance his dominion. And so in order to move in prophetic ministry, we want to advance his kingdom, advance his domain, and the most important thing to him is his kids. He wants each of our hearts. He wants us to know him better. And he wants us to know who we are in him. I don't know about you, but I know people who are living less than where they should be living. You know, you just want to shake people sometimes, don't you? I love you so much. Why won't you live better than this? Don't you see what I see in you? Right? Do we not? Anybody else know people like that? Okay, so it's one thing, like, if you can see it on them, right? Like, you can see the good stuff in them, but they don't. Now, as much as you, their beloved, whoever, that loves them so much you could shake them into it, but you know, they don't listen to you, right? But what if some random Christian walking around Walmart, right, grabbed hold of them and say, hey, you know what? I just need to share this. I feel like God's saying, and just reads their mail and is able to speak life into something. Like, you know how people can hear it from a stranger and not hear it from their mom or best friend or whatever, right? Come on, we do this, right? I know I do it. So it's extremely important that we move in prophetic ministry, because there are a bunch of other Christians who are needing their lost loved ones to come to the Lord, and we're all supposed to help each other out, right? So if I have somebody that I want to know their identity in the Lord and they ain't listening to me, then I'm looking to you to find them at Walmart or the mall or the gas station or whatever, right? Like, what if? Come on, think about it. Think about it. That's how we tag team, right, in the kingdom. So prophetic ministry is powerful. It can change people's hearts. It will move them into a whole other identity. And I'm not going to go over the story, but there's a great story in 1 Samuel chapter 9, where this is where Samuel is ministering to Saul, and has, right before he gets anointed king. And you know, he runs into the school of prophets, basically, and because he's in that atmosphere, he's able to receive, sit under that gifting, and it falls on him, and he's able to see his identity and his calling, and then is called forth to be king of Israel. That inside of him, and kind of like Gideon is like, are you talking to me? Like, I'm the lowest of the low of the lowest tribe of, you know, kind of a thing. Like, right, his identity had to shift because God was saying something completely different. Now, something I like that Chris mentions in here in his book: does greatness promote pride? He was confronted, there's a story where he shares, he was confronted at one point where he's sharing about prophetic ministry, and he talks about the greatness, that we're to call the greatness out in people, and someone challenged him and said, well, I think you're just promoting pride, you know, when you do that. And so this is his story. I'm gonna tell it to you like he put it in here, and just kind of read it to you, because I don't wanna mess up the story. So some time ago, I was teaching on the purposes of prophetic ministry, beginning with a few opening statements, and I said, prophecy calls out the greatness in people. But just then a pastor walked through the back door and said, hey, I have a question. What is it? Says Chris. I believe that God is great, he said. Yes. Did I say something that made you feel that God wasn't great? Well, you said we're to call out the greatness in people. I believe that you're creating pride in people by doing that, he said. But I fired back. I believe for years the church has emasculated and castrated people in the name of humility. And I pointed to a beautiful painting on a wall and said, let's pretend that you painted that picture. Okay, looking confused. That's a stupid looking painting. Look at those ugly colors, I yelled. Now, did demeaning the painting glorify the artist? No, he said. Isn't it true that the beauty of the painting actually brings honor to the artist? Yes, that's true, he said. You didn't paint yourself. God painted you, I told him. Not only that, but Jesus is the one who sat in the chair and modeled for the portrait. We are created in his image and in his likeness. And every time we demean ourselves, we're talking badly about the artist and the model. The truth is that the beauty of creation actually gives glory to the creator. Okay? So it's not pride. Now I'm going to a whole other sermon about false humility, but I'm not going to go there today. But true humility can be expressed when you can say, I'm humbly awesome, as he put in there about King Nebuchadnezzar. When you say, I'm humbly awesome. You know, when I tell my kid, man, you rock, you are awesome. I am not creating pride in him, right? We're building up who they are and their identity. So when we prophesy over people and we call out their greatness, we are loving people into their identity. You were made in the image of God, and each of you carries something unique and valuable that we all need. Right. We need you. The body of Christ needs you, and the world needs you. Your family needs you. The people in your neighborhood need you. You carry a flavor of Jesus that nobody else does. I don't care if you're a twin. Like, come bring up a couple twins and they will tell you we are different, even if we look a lot alike. Anybody know any twins? They're adamant about being different, right? even if they look exactly alike, even more so, I think, sometimes, right? But they're different. They're still different. They're still uniquely them. And so it's really, really important that we learn how to get over that false humility thing. And part of that test, it's not in this book, but I'm going to tell you this story because I've just never forgotten it. You know, Bill Johnson was sharing about a story about, you know, we've got to get over this false humility thing. I am preaching in my, I'm going right into the sermon. Okay, so, because it just bothers me, but learn how to accept a compliment. That's kind of the message, right? Like, learn, like, it's okay to accept a compliment. Now, you know, Bill was talking about how there was this person at church who sang a great song or whatever, and people were coming up to them and saying, man, that was just, that was so great. Thank you so much for your song. And this person was like, oh, it was just Jesus. No, it's okay. It was just Jesus. You know, it was all him, not me, kind of thing. And Bill's comment was, well, no, it wasn't Jesus. Because if it was Jesus, man, it would be like Jesus, right? So, but what he's saying is like, you know, accept a compliment. Know that it's okay to say thank you, because when you're able to receive that, again, you're giving glory to the Father. That's how you do it. Is, yeah, we don't want to like, oh, puff me up. Look at me. I'm all that. Bottom line is that's insecurity anyway. I guarantee you. If you've got to puff yourself up, then where there's pride, there's a great deal of insecurity. Promise you. But real humility is being able to say, God's awesome. And I'm thankful that he's given gifts, and that thank you so much. I'm so glad that you were blessed. You can say stuff like that or whatever, right? But you can give glory to God by being you. You give glory to God by being you, not trying to be somebody else and not pretending like you're less than who he made you to be. I think that's kind of insulting, just like he said in that story, okay? So let's talk about prophets and prophecy. Because there is a difference, and this, again, may seem real basic, but it's not for some people, because I had these questions when I was first learning. First of all, understanding just in general that the gift of prophecy is one of the 9, what we call manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, this is how God manifests himself, reveals himself, or presents himself, is through the gifts. You cannot do this without him, by the way. Okay, you really can't. You can't do supernatural ministry without God. Now, there are some people that are gifted, and they can be plugged into a different source because the gifts and calls of God are irrevocable, right? So people can operate out of their gifting, but it doesn't necessarily mean they've got the character up to hold it and that they're even plugged into the right power source. Am I making myself clear about that? So there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. Paul didn't want us to be unaware of the gifts. Yet there's a whole lot of the people in the body that are unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. It's a different translation, not mine. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, so no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit also. So now, in the word where it says gifts, the reason gifts is italicized is because it is not present in the original Greek language. It was a mistake in the translation. If you read the English Standard Version, it gives a little more clarity. Beside the word gifts is a note indicating the phrase spiritual gifts could be exchanged for spiritual persons. I think that's interesting. Perhaps the most accurate translation would be Young's literal translation, which phrases verse 1 this way. And concerning the spiritual things, brethren, I do not wish you to be ignorant. So how it's read in the original Greek? Now concerning the spiritual, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. How we understand this verse in its proper context makes all the difference when we approach the subject of spiritual gifts, especially the specific gift of prophecy. So, first and foremost, foundationally, Paul was providing correct understanding of the spiritual realm. You got to remember, in that day and age, we're talking about polytheism and paganism and all that stuff. So they wanted to really make sure that they understood how the spiritual realm worked, okay? And so he says later in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. There are a variety of effects in the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts, that's plural, gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all of these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills. So the key part in that was that it was the same Spirit. Because what they would do is they would say, oh, but there's going to be this one Spirit or this one God that's over prophecy or this one God that's over healing or this one, right? Like that's what he was clarifying when he was talking about that. So that's really important to understand that it's the same Spirit and the same God. That's why Paul kept repeating all of that, so that they would have an understanding of the spiritual world, because particularly in the Western world, we don't really think about the spiritual realm in that way. When we hear the word supernatural, people think New Age or some other things, right? But there's an understanding of how the spiritual realm works. Some places are more aware of that than others. And so it's really important that he wanted to make sure that we overcame the ignorance of that spiritual realm so that we can understand the actual gift is the supernatural piece that we cannot do. He gives that to us. It is not a reward or an award. It is a gift. Let's see. 1 Corinthians 14 says, pursue love, yet desire earnestly the spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But the one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation or comfort, right? So this is key. If you're going to prophesy, just like I said, we don't do negative, we don't call out sin, but if you're moving in the gift of prophecy, it will either edify, build up somebody, it will exhort to draw them near to God, okay, or to console them, to bring comfort to them. So it's extremely important that we recognize that. One and the same Spirit does this. And that's different than the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There are nine fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. Talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. The fruit will grow in our life as we allow Holy Spirit to work in us, not just through us. So the gifts are to work through us. They're for other people. They're not for us, okay? They're to benefit and to edify other people. Now, the fruit should be growing in us. And this is why whenever we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we really have to talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, because without the character of God, it's not going to go well, okay? So that's why every time we talk about spiritual gifts and working in ministry, love is the most important thing. But let's look at all the rest of the fruit. There should come peace. There should come the goodness of God is revealed. Like the fruit has to be there as well. And a lot of the times what I've seen in prophetic ministries, that's where it's gone wrong, is, you know, maybe a gifted person might be moving in that operation, but they're not moving in love, or they're not moving and seeing the character really withstand the gifting. And if you want to grow in the gifting, it's going to be really important for you to understand that you have to grow in your maturity in your heart as you minister. That's really important. So the difference between prophets and the gift of prophecy. I apologize if I'm talking really fast. I'm trying to cover a lot of information today as an introduction. Prophecy is a gift, is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? But it's separate than the fivefold ministry, okay? A lot of times people will get that confused. So we have the nine manifestation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think the seven gifts that are listed in Romans 12 are different. They're the redemptive or motivational gifting. We talked about that not too long ago here. It's on the website if you guys want to look at that teaching. But that's really, to me, more about wiring. But then there's the fivefold ministry gifts in Ephesians. And that is where he says, I think it's in here. Let me look up the scripture. It is in Ephesians 4, 7 through 13. For some he gave as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature man. There's a really meaty scripture passage right there, okay? But it says when Christ left, when he ascended, right, he left all of those things. So what did he do? These people are governmental office gifts. They are the gift to the body. Does that make sense? The person who walks in the office of a prophet is a gift to the body, to the equipping of the work. Now, I personally will use this language. These fivefold ministry gifts father the church in that ministry, okay? I don't personally believe that everyone can be one of those five. I don't think you can ask God to be one of those five. I think Chris even says it in his book too, that these are callings, okay? This only God is gonna call out the office of a prophet. I don't care how much you wanna grow in the gift of prophecy. You can become a prophetic person and really grow in your anointing and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. And as you move in this gift, you can grow in that. But I personally, and it's okay if I'm wrong later, but I personally don't think that you can just decide to be in the office of a prophet. Okay, I think that is from God because he says they are a gift to the body. Billy Graham was a preacher, teacher, if you will, teacher of the word. He was a pastor of a church, but he walked in the office of an evangelist. Look at the fruit of his ministry. Preaches a message, thousands come to the Lord, okay? Look at the fruit, okay? Look at the fruit. But then the other part of that is how he raised up other people to be evangelists as well, okay? So to me, that's what the fivefold does. It raises up others to be like them. It's the fathering ministry. So I think that's really important that you understand the difference, because I think sometimes people like, well, I love prophetic ministry and they want to move in prophetic ministry, but then they start calling themselves prophets. And I'm like, careful, just be careful. Be a prophetic person, love prophetic ministry. We're all children. It's the children's bread. We should all prophesy. Paul said it. We should all speak in tongues too. He said, well, I speak in tongues more than all of you, but I wish you would all do it, but I would rather that you prophesy. Because it will edify, it will exhort, and it will bring comfort, okay? That's why it's considered a, quote, greater gifting, is because of the effect of the body and building it up. And so that's why Paul spent so much time talking about that. He wasn't diminishing any other gift. He wasn't diminishing tongues. He was just saying, this is such a powerful gifting. We really need to move in it because it reveals the heart of the Father and our identity in him. Okay, and it draws us closer to him. So I do think it's important that we honor that there are people who are called to the office of the prophet, okay? Now, his little example of the, Chris Vallotton's example of the fivefold ministry is that apostles will govern. They're like a general contractor that kind of oversee a project. Some people will call them the builders or whatever. Again, I see them kind of as, they're really the fathers. Prophets will guide. They're like the architects who will assist the general contractor to know what the project should actually look like. Notice the word look, because they tend to have vision. Evangelists will gather. Their concern is for the lost, to bring them into the fold. Pastors will guard. The pastor's heart is for the saved, or the shepherds of the sheep in the house. And teachers will ground. The teacher's primary role is to help the flock understand the word of God. So that's a difference. The calling is different than the actual gift. What we want to be able to do is move in the gift of prophecy. So that's really about hearing the Lord, hearing the word, and declaring it. So there's a difference between prophecy and a word of knowledge. I talked about this a little bit last time. We talked about getting words of knowledge for healing, for example. Oftentimes the gifts go hand in hand with each other. I know, like Sean Bolts, we were talking about his book, Translating God. A lot of times what he'll do is he'll get words of knowledge to know who he's going to prophesy over. Sometimes when I get words, I don't know sometimes if it's a word of knowledge or if it's a prophecy. And so sometimes I'll just, and we'll train this as we activate. We're going to learn how to hear the Lord, how to release the word. It's the revelation. Whatever it is I give, does that make sense to you? Now, it could be a word of knowledge. For example, one time in service at worship, I kept seeing a picture over this college student. So after the service, I went up to him and I said, I just kept seeing a picture of you like on a mountain, like you were rock climbing. Do you rock climb? Does that make any sense to you? And he looked at me with big old eyes and he was like, I was just rock climbing last weekend. I was like, okay, cool. I'm like, why'd you tell me that, Jesus? You know, so I always ask the Lord the second question. I was like, okay, so I'm hearing something, but was that it? Like, was that, like, why did you tell me that? So when I get words of knowledge, I'm like, why do I get that information? Because it's just weird to know stuff about people and not know what to do with it. So, you know, so I'm like, what's the point? Like, why are you saying that? And then came the prophetic word, right? Like, oh, okay, it wasn't just a word of knowledge, but as I asked him, he gave me the prophetic word about where he was in the season of his life and how he was climbing rocks, and he wasn't really sure where he was going to get to, but he was about to get to the top and be able to see more clearly so that he would have an idea of where he's supposed to be. And long story short, he was struggling with like his major, like what he was supposed to do as a major or whatever, and that was part of the reason why he took off to go rock climbing, was to kind of clear his head and figure out his future. So it was confirming on one part, present day, word of knowledge information, right, that kind of said, whoa, you shouldn't know that, right? But then the other part was, again, confirming this is what the Lord is saying, not only right now, but also for your future, okay? So words of knowledge is information I should not know outside of God telling me. But I always follow that up with, but God, tell me what for. Why do you want me to know that information, right? And so what I love about like when Sean Boltz ministers, he'll get words of knowledge like names or dates or anniversary dates or things like that. And that's really to identify the person that God's talking to so that then he releases whatever the prophetic word is. When we were practicing this a few weeks ago, it was about getting words of knowledge in our body or what does the Lord want to heal? What injury, what ailment is going on that he's wanting to minister to? Okay, so it's just learning how to hear the Lord in that way, but it's really important to understand the difference between prophecy and a word of knowledge, because the prophetic is about the future. It can be confirming about the present, about what God's already been talking to you about. That's really affirming, but it should be describing a move forward, a step forward, to let you know where you're going, what God's doing in the future, okay? The other reason why it's really important to know the difference between prophecy and word of knowledge is particularly as you're receiving the word. Okay, so a lot of times people, you know, if I were to say, you know, Matthew, you're an artist. I see you like painting or whatever, and you know, you're this great artist. I just see you painting this picture. And he's like, nah, that's not for me because I'm not an artist. Like he just fleshed it, right? Like I wasn't trying to give a word of knowledge that that's who he is, that he's a painter or does that as a job or whatever. But no, what the Lord was saying is that's what he's releasing in him, right? Like I can see him doing that. Or maybe that was a revelation about how he was going to move into something. Does that make sense? So sometimes you can flush a word and think, well, that no, that's not me. Or you're wrong because that's not who I am. But the Lord is saying that you are. Now it could be literal or it could be a parable. Okay, so that's the other hard part, is we have to learn how to discern the language of God and how he speaks. So it's one thing to get the revelation, then to interpret it's a whole other thing, right? So prophecy, there's two forms that will show up. I like how Chris words it. He says it's either foretelling to know the future or it's forthtelling to cause the future. That one, some people kind of go, okay. So foretelling is if I get in a time machine and I go into the future and I see what's happening, then I come back and I tell you what I saw. Like this will happen. This is what I see, right? But prophecy can also be forthtelling. And the story that he shares, I think, is really powerful. And that is that, you know, there was a couple that he knew really well, and they had tried several times to get pregnant, and there was some real struggle there, and the Lord had given them a word that they're going to have a child. Now, I will just clarify, Chris is an office of a prophet, so he gets to do this, but we will not encourage, you know, prophesying babies, mates, okay, names, dates, babies. We want to be careful of that kind of stuff. So, but he said, there's a baby coming. Now, he didn't want to tell them though. He's like, I'm not, I mean, he argued with the Lord. I'm not going to tell them that because that it's just, that's going to be too bad, too painful, it's stirred up too much stuff or whatever. And he wrestled with him until the Lord said, if you don't say it, it won't happen. So he had to say it. And the woman grabbed hold of it and declared it and said, yes. Well, Chris is kind of shaken about it a little bit, but she did eventually give birth to a child, okay? So it's just an interesting thing to note that it's really important that you hear the Lord and that even people who walk in the office can wrestle with God. So I feel good about that because I will wrestle with him too sometimes. But it's really important to be obedient too when you know that you're hearing him. Okay, which is why it's really important to learn how you hear him and how he speaks to you. But it is important that you understand the difference, and especially because sometimes when you're going to prophesy over people, they don't know the difference, or they may not be in this training or have teaching about it. So sometimes when I get a word for people, I will ask them, because you know, just to say the phrase to get a word or I have a word for you, you know that's Christianese. Like not everybody speaks that language. Anointed, what does that, what's that? You have a word for me? What does manifestation mean? I mean, that's Christianese. Like, we may talk about it all the time, right? But there are people that don't talk that way. Even Christians I know don't talk that way, okay? So it's important to say, you know, something to the effect of being able to do a mini teaching or whatever, if you will, and just being able to say, you know, I just feel like an impression that came on my heart, or as I was thinking about you or praying for you, this is what I hear. Like, I feel like God is wanting me to tell you. Right? I mean, you can say that. I know it sounds crazy to say that God talks to you, but, you know, if you believe it, it's true, right? So anyway, but sometimes we have to say things like that to kind of break the ice so that we can give the word to someone and to be able to say, I just feel like he wants me to tell you, and then to be able to say, this is who I see to be, this, you know. But we also want to tell people, you want to tell it according to your level of faith, number one. Like, you don't ever have to say, thus saith the Lord. In fact, I usually shy away from that, quite honestly. You don't need to say that. But you can also tell people, now, you know, just sift through it, and if it doesn't make any sense, shelf it. I usually tell people not to flush stuff because you never know, it can come back in 10 years, right? Like it can be a word for way later. So I usually tell people if it doesn't seem to fit, just stick it up on a shelf. And if God wants you to remember it, he will. Or maybe I'm wrong and I heard him wrong. Like, give people permission to totally, like, not agree with what you said, okay? Like, it's totally okay. Like, don't get all offended that they don't think that, you know, you just heard God, you know? So, but that's the other reason why it's important when you see people, especially when they slough off a word, I especially if I think they think it's just a word of knowledge, I go, well, it doesn't have to be like you're an artist. It could be like, well, maybe you'll become one, or maybe he's talking in symbolic language, or maybe, you know. And so I just pray that God tells them, like, more clearly than what I just did, you know. So Chris talks about there's levels of prophecy. You know, we want to create a prophetic culture, and what that means is that we carry the heart of the Father so much that we can't help but call identity out of people, that we see the best in people, right? Like, just the culture is honoring and loving in that way. And so that's one level. One is the gift of prophecy. Again, we can all move in that. We'll all have different levels, but there are some people who will have a little bit higher gifting, a higher anointing in that, and that, you know, he labels them prophetic people, but even they still aren't necessarily in the office. So there's still, there's the layers and differences. And it's really important, I tell people all the time, there's no competition in the kingdom. Okay, so jealousy shouldn't be there. We can all have hunger. We can all discern the gifts. It says, eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. Okay, so you have permission to ask God. I know that when I pulled on God for this ministry, I wanted to hear him. I wanted to understand it. And I was on a ministry team and was prophesied over by somebody who got that as a word of knowledge, actually, for me, to be able to say, I know that she's been hungering for it, and so here God's giving you more. So I believe in the confirming of hunger being fed. Like, he likes to feed the hungry. Okay, so you can hunger and grow in the gifts. It is really important to understand that prophecy moves in sections. And what I mean is there's three parts to it: revelation, interpretation, and application. So when we teach this and when we start activating and practicing this, especially when we have people who aren't used to receiving a word, I really like to break it down in baby steps because we can all miss it, okay? We can all get it wrong. But if I said, okay, I see a picture, and I did get this earlier. I'm going to use you as an example, Betty. I saw a picture of a pink flamingo when I looked at Betty today during worship, and I saw a pink flamingo, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if pink flamingos mean anything to you. If that was like her favorite bird, that would be awesome. If you have pink flamingos in your garden, I don't know. Does that mean anything to you when I say pink flamingo? Okay. And that's okay. Okay. And like, I could just be totally hearing wrong or whatever. But when I ask the Lord, what are you saying in that picture? Me just telling you that I got a pink flamingo, a picture of a pink flamingo is giving you on some level part of the revelation. That's why I pause and ask. Because I don't know if that's a word of knowledge or if it's something that means something to her, that God could be saying something else that I have no idea. We know in part and we prophesy in part, okay? So it's only pieces. We may not get the whole picture. So I like to say it that way first and then pause. And then when I asked the Lord, what is he saying? I felt like, this is my interpretation of the word, I felt like he was saying that he is bringing you to a place of better balance. Like I saw the flamingo with the one leg up. I'm not really good at it, you know, and you know, when they're feeding or when they're up or whatever. I mean, I just saw that picture of the flamingo, and I feel like he's saying he's strengthening you and he's giving you better balance, right? And so that would be my interpretation. And so does that confirm? Okay. So I like to ask, does that confirm anything? And it can be like, oh, yeah, because it's confirming, you know, something that either she's been praying for or that God's been saying or whatever. Or it could be a brand new thing and be like, I'll take it, you know? And so the application part is up to her. What she does with it is up to her. That's the application part. So revelation, what did you get? Interpretation, what does it mean? Okay. And then the application is, well, what are we supposed to do with it now that we have it? And sometimes it's really important to take that, he mentioned this, take it to leadership, take it to friends who know you really well too. And it's, I think it's important to share those kinds of things. I love that Graham, I had done this in a class once for all of my students, and I required them to write down all of their prophetic words. If you've never done this, I'm telling you now, it's my big thing. Write it down. If you never learned anything from Cindy Hatcher, I'm telling you this right now, write stuff down that you get from God. Just write it down. Even if you don't understand it, keep journals, write it down. But get your prophetic words. If you have them, I know some people have them on cassette or on, you know, different places or different journals or whatever. I really strongly encourage you to gather your words up into a single location, okay, and rehearse them, review them, and pray over them. And then people who are close in your life that you allow to speak into your life, I encourage you to give them a copy. One thing that I loved hearing, Graham Cook said that he keeps files on his friends. And so he has files on all of his friends of the words that God's given him about them, so that anytime stuff comes up, he goes to the file and goes, oh, but remember what God said. Remember what God said, you know, right? So I have gathered all of my words into this beautiful journal that my husband got me, and every time we get a new one, no matter where I might write it or put it or record it, I put it all in this one journal for us and our family. And it has been amazing over the years to be able to read through, because every time we get a new one, it adds a fresh piece to the puzzle. Okay, so maybe not just in that season, but a lot of times those words will reflect back on something else that showed up years before and go, oh, maybe that also means that. So it might give you greater insight and revelation about who you are and the season that you're in. The thing that he mentions in here that's so important about breaking down those three steps, the revelation, the interpretation, the application, the example he uses is he was with, you know, a group and they were training, and this one guy stood up and he's like, you have a yellow shirt. And then the lady like bawls her eyes out and like is totally undone, right? And so the guy is like, and so the sun's yellow and the moon's yellow. Like he's trying to figure out an interpretation, right, of what it's kind of meaning or whatever. And number one, wait till the lady like gets composure, right, to give you some feedback instead of continuing. But long story short, like he tried to create like a revelation about that, or what the interpretation was about the revelation, when what she later shared was she had an autistic son and she wanted to you know, she asked the Lord, if you're going to heal my son, have someone tell me I'm wearing a yellow shirt. So it was a fleece she put before the Lord, right? So sometimes we think stuff is stupid. Like, we're like, okay, so I got a pink flamingo. I don't know what that means. But, like, sometimes you'll get the most ridiculous stuff. Like, I know, you know, in healing and stuff, people will get, like, okay, I see a water bottle, and I see something else, right? And it was related to somebody, like, constantly having to drink because of, you know, I don't remember what the issue was, but they were constantly, I mean, so sometimes you'll get strange stuff. Like, take the risk to just put it out there. You don't have to create something, other interpretation, but give what you got first, because sometimes it may not mean anything to you, but it may specifically mean something to somebody else. Like, I remember giving this word to somebody and said, I was giving some words to different people, and then this one person, all I saw was like, the Lord's given you a bouquet of flowers. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, that's all I got, which is kind of annoying to me because I like to give, like, what does that mean, God? And here's their identity. Like, I love to really, like I really want them to be like, ah. And I'm like, he's giving you flowers. But that simple word meant a lot because other people have said the same thing to that person like 3 or 4 times, you know, and that was it. And it was that same little phrase. So sometimes you really have to learn to be like, okay, I'm just going to give you the piece I got first. And then here's my interpretation of it or what it means to me. Because sometimes he'll speak in my language or sometimes he'll speak in your language, the person receiving it, right? I shared this before when we talked about healing or whatever, but it was one of those that really stretched me, which is why I remember the story. And that was the one when I had shared about the koala and the panda. At first it was a kangaroo, bamboo, and panda is what I got. And I was like, and we're supposed to be praying for healing at that time, right? So I was like, I don't know. But then I shared what I felt like it meant. Well, maybe it was for people from different countries or whatever. Long story short, it identified one lady who was Australian who married, who had adopted some Chinese boys. And another one was a woman who had married an Australian and she was Thai Chinese. So anyway, it just affirmed who the people were, but like sometimes it's all you get is those little pieces and it's like the language for you. So for me, it was like, well, bamboo is what, you know, koalas eat, not kangaroos, but then that makes me think of Australia, but pandas but make me think of China. That's just kind of how my brain works. Like, you may not think that at all, like if you heard panda, right? I mean, you might think of like Kung Fu Panda. I don't know, you know, so sometimes you just don't know. You don't know if he's talking their language or your language. So sometimes it's really important to slow down the process and don't just say, here's what God's saying. Like, you don't jump right into the interpretation. Sometimes it's important that you give the revelation that you got first. So that's really important, right? Are we good? Okay. Whew, we're good on time. I'm throwing a whole lot at you all at once today. I'm on chapter 3 now, if anyone else is going through the book. But learning to hear the voice of God. This is what it's all about right here. Listen. The more you get to know the Lord, the more intimate you are with him, the more you know who he is and how he is. So it is key that you learn how to hear the voice of the Lord in anything, right? Like if you're just a believer who just wants to like just follow God, you gotta hear him, okay? So he speaks through the Rhema word as well as the Logos word. He speaks through scripture, but I also know he will speak to me through the most secular crazy stuff too. You know, like he'll use random things. He'll use commercials. I had a radical spiritual experience watching Lincoln, you know, just because of just like, this is a guy who lived his revivalist life, you know, like to the end. So I knew the story of Lincoln, like it wasn't a surprise, right? Like I knew history, but there was something about that encounter that I had in that movie that was Daniel Day-Lewis and it was crazy and it was like all God and like it went over my husband's head when I tried to explain it because I could feel God in it and he was telling me stuff through the movie. It was very weird, but that's what he does sometimes. He'll talk to you through random things, right? Like I see people nodding their heads. So it's just learning how to discern how he speaks to you, okay? He is always speaking. He is called the Word. So I think, you know, that's really important. And, you know, we always talk about, you know, as a marriage and family therapist, I always talk about, you know, communication is the key to every relationship, right? Like you have to be able to know how to communicate and speak each other's language. And It says in John 10:27 that Jesus himself said, "My sheep hear my voice." Now, do you understand about sheep? Like when they train sheep, they train them to know the shepherd's voice. So that if two or three of us got our sheep together to chill and we're going to cook a pot of stew together on the side of the mountain and hang out, and then it's time for us to go our merry ways, we would all separate into opposite corners and then start our call so that our sheep would come to us and their sheep would go to them, right? Like the sheep learn to hear their voice. In fact, I remember Ray Vanderlaan, who was a professor in Jerusalem, talked about how interesting it was that David was a shepherd, which means he probably didn't have any sisters, because really in the culture they would try to raise the girls to do that, and they would often have two or three daughters because they would, you know, sisters kind of sound alike, you know, or children kind of sound alike. So they would have two or three daughters actually out there being the shepherd. But there was something about David being the youngest son. If you remember, he wasn't even invited to dinner when the prophet came to the house to anoint the next king. Like, he wasn't even invited to dinner. He wasn't even in the house, right? And we know in the Psalms that he felt despised, and you know, and we know how his brothers treated him. But anyway, he had to have been the youngest brother to be out on the side of the hill with the shepherds, as a shepherd. But anyway, it is important that we learn how to hear the Lord. Paul said it this way, "For you can all prophesy one by one," 1 Corinthians 14:31. And Moses even said in Numbers 11:29, "Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit upon them." Now that was prophetic in and of itself. Moses. Okay. He shares a little bit about the parables. I'm not going to go into some of that, but just the concept of, you know, that the Lord speaks the parables. He doesn't hide things from us. He hides them for us. It says, Matthew 13:16, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Those who are hungry will search out the treasures that God has hidden for them." That Greek word for hidden, I'm not going to try to pronounce it, means to be ignorant or unaware. In Proverbs 25:2, though, it says, "It's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out." Did y'all get that? He says he's made us kings and priests unto our God. It's the glory of kings. If that doesn't tell you something right there, y'all are kings. You're royalty, right? Supernatural ways of royalty. Okay, even Matthew 13:7, this wrecks me. "For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." It's interesting to me that there would be people that have gone way before us, right, that are in the cloud of witnesses that are jealous a little bit, like holy jealousy, you know, like looking down at heaven, watching and going, man. Because we have Holy Spirit in us, like, right? Like in the Old Testament, they didn't have Holy Spirit. So it's like, I love this. But he doesn't hide things from us. He hides them for us because God's goal is relationship. How hungry are you? It's a whole other sermon of mine. How hungry are you? You know, and that, okay, I'm not going to go there. Okay, I'm trying not to go off topic, but I will just say, if you got to start with hunger, then you got to want it, right? I mean, if you're not hungry, if you're feeling really dry, the Lord will answer your prayer if you say, "God, make me hungry. I don't even feel hungry." You know, if there's a block or something where you don't even feel hungry. Like, listen, I think you're hungry because you showed up on a Wednesday night. the hungry will come is what I think, right? Like, who gives up? I mean, you know, everybody's got long days. You've been working. You've got family time. You could be doing way many other things. It's the hungry that gather and that come for more stuff, right? So I know y'all are the hungry. But, man, the Lord's been telling me a lot about hunger lately. And he feeds the hungry. I'll just say that. He feeds the hungry. He's so good. But he hides things for us, not from us. Like, I always like to picture it like an Easter egg hunt. And, you know, when you're like five, like the candy's like just scattered on the lawn, you know, like it's just like there where you can see it, you know, like it's not really hard. But if you get older, it's like, you know, we want to hide it behind stuff and weigh up stuff and tuck it because it's not near as fun than if you can just see it and just go get it, right? Like you want to hunt for it, like, you know, like I'm thinking all those little Pokemon Go people, you know, running around everywhere. Like it's the hunt, it's the chase, it's the mystery, right? Like that's the thing that stirs us up. Well, it's the same thing. The Lord knows that and knows how we're wired, but he's like, you know, do you really want it? You know, and it's kind of like, you know, Jesus, when he would ask people, even when it was really obvious, like they're blind and they need healing, and he'd be like, what do you want? Same thing. So hunger. The Lord's always speaking to us. So we have to move into that place of hunger and ask him to show us how he speaks to us. There is a war that wants to keep us deaf. There's a lot of distraction in the world. You know, there's warfare. In Mark 4, he talks about, you know, the sower that sows the word. And just depends on your soil, right? But also the value, and this is a really important concept here, the value that you place on a word will determine the power that you receive from it. You know, if you receive a prophet in the name of the prophet, you receive the prophet's reward. Well, what's the prophet's, quote, reward? It's not their gift necessarily, but the reward is that they get to hear and see God manifest, right? Like, and so it's really important that the ability to see and hear is what Jesus kept saying. He who has eyes, let him see. He who has ears, let him hear. He was declaring that as a prophet when he would say those things. So every time you see that in scripture, like pay attention, right? Because if you valued him as a prophet, then you're going to receive what he said. If you value him as savior, you'll receive what he died for too, right? So, yeah. So it's very important that we learn how to discern the voice of Holy Spirit, because we also need to recognize that everything that we hear in the spiritual realm is from God. That sounds really simple, but sometimes people get really confused. I know some people who are very gifted in the discernment of spirits, and there are some who hear, but they don't know how to discern. Okay, so discernment of the spirits is being able to discern the difference between the human spirit, okay, what's in your spirit, your heart, versus what's angelic, what's God, and then what's demonic. Now, the angelic will point to God, okay, but those are, quote unquote, the four sources, if you will, our spirit, Holy Spirit, evil spirits, and then angels. Because we are a spirit that has a soul and a body. And when we're born again, our spirit does come to life, making it possible to hear from the spiritual realm. I do know people who are, I believe, again, gifted, whether even they're pre-Christians, and they have the ability to hear into the spiritual realm, but they don't know how to discern the difference. They don't know the sources, and so they just assume good or evil based on how they feel or sense, and that's not necessarily true. So it's really important, again, that you know the Lord, and you know his heart and his character, and you learn how to be able to discern the difference. And the bottom line is on some level, it's practice that makes perfect, right? Like you have to test the spirits. You have to ask the Lord. You ask him to reveal it to you in scripture. It should always line up with scripture. The character of God and the word of God will always line up together. And so you have to be able to test it. And again, you can always stick it up on a shelf. If it's God, it will happen, you know, kind of a thing. However, I do believe when we talk about sometimes the fourth telling, that there is sometimes a positioning that we have to put ourselves in when we know that the Lord is giving us a word, that we can activate it by faith. Just like when we're praying for healing and we tell people now test out whatever it was, you know, to see if it's any better. The same thing is true, I believe, when we receive a prophetic word. We feel like it's from the Lord. It's important for us to align ourselves up with the word. If I said to you, I see that the Lord is going to send you to China soon, then you might want to start thinking about China, studying China, looking, you know, learning Chinese, something, asking the Lord, what? China, really? Or it's like totally in your heart, yes, I've been wanting to go to China, this is, you know, but then do something like toward that, right? Like when you get a word from the Lord and you know that it's him, right? He confirms it, then what are you doing in terms of the next step into that word, right? Line yourself up with it, which is why I say be intentional about writing it down too, so that you can review it as a refresher too, because guess what? We forget. I don't know, but are anybody forgetful? Because circumstances and stuff happens, right? And you're like, oh yeah, that happened. We need to have those words ever before us. And it's very much like, again, doesn't replace scripture, but he is a God that still speaks, okay? And so that rhema word for you is your word. It's your inheritance word. It's your life word. It's your, right, it's instruction for you. So it's important for you to treasure it in that same way when you know that it's from the Lord. Again, if you're not quite sure, it's okay to just put it in the cloud, if you will, and say, Lord, it's there. I remember it. I wrote it down. I'll review it with a question mark next to it. Is that you? Was that you? I need a confirmation about that. Or he'll show me later, right? Or give you a piece or two. Or you might get another thing that says, yeah, that no, that wasn't really him. You know, and that's okay because your friend was just practicing or whatever and they got it wrong. Okay? Doesn't make them a false prophet. We'll talk about that in another day. So, I'm going to go ahead and close with this in just a minute, but I wanted to kind of, I want to pray. And first of all, I want to ask, because I know we have some new faces in here too, I do believe it's really important, number one, to always give the opportunity, if you don't know the Lord, to come to the Lord. You are a child of the Lord, whether you know it or not. He's your daddy, and he wants you in his family. And if you don't know that you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's really important then too to have prayer that the Holy Spirit would fill you. You always get Holy Spirit when you get Jesus, when you receive Christ at salvation, but there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit to fill you and to release the gifts and to release the anointing for other people. Remember that it's a gift for other people, not just for you, like Holy Spirit is for you at salvation. I wanted to be able to pray and just ask the Lord to unlock and to release, because I know you're here because you're hungry, right? Or at least curious. And so I want to be able to ask the Lord to open eyes and ears and to pray for that. So I just wanted to give you the invitation that if you want to stay a little bit after, I'll be more than happy to pray for you. I know we have a few others here that would be glad to do that as well. But I wanted to be able to do that. But before I did, any questions, any pressing questions or anything about anything that we've shared tonight or anything that the Lord wanted to have you say? Nobody? Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to pray then. Father, I thank you so much for your goodness, God, and for your happy delight that your kids are desiring and hungering for more of you and to hear you and to know you and to release your heart to others, God. We thank you for Holy Spirit, for the gifts that Holy Spirit releases. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you. You're so good. God, I just ask that right now that if there are any hearts, Lord, who are struggling in some of this, God, that you would just bring clarity, remove confusion, but bring clarity in Jesus' name. Lord, where there might be wounding from previous ministry, God, I ask you to release healing. And Lord, I just ask you that you light a fire inside of us to be able to desire more of you. Lord, I ask that you would right now, I just unclog every ear. Lord, that you remove any hindrance for people's ability to be able to hear you and your voice clearly, that anything that the enemy may have placed in their ears to taint their ability to hear, God, that you would remove it right now. Every religious spirit has to go in Jesus' name. Every condemning, lying spirit must go. Lord, that the purity of the Holy Spirit's voice would be in their ears, the kindness of God in their ear. And Lord, I ask that you would remove scales from eyes, that you would remove blinders, Lord, that you would remove the hoods that cover up people's eyes to be able to see in the Spirit. And Lord, I thank you that you're releasing right now just a fresh wave of your presence, of your love, and of your Spirit, God. I ask you, Father, just to release right now an impartation of the gifts as you want to release them today, Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Lord, and we stand ready in position to receive, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to grow us up. Grow us up that we would have the holiness and the character to be able to represent you well as we minister your heart and your love to the world. Lord, we don't want to just receive from your hand. God, we want your face. We want intimacy with you, God. We want to be one with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right. If any of you need prayer, feel free to stay after. I know we'd like to chit-chat a little bit, but I'm going to ask, we do have about 10 more minutes left on the time, but I'm going to ask that we not stay here all night like we can do. I want us to really be mindful of our time because we've been really great to fellowship and love on each other, but some of us have been here way too late on some Wednesday nights, so I ask that you will help us to honor time as we try to honor your time as well. Again, if you want to go after the book, we just covered the first three chapters and kind of hit and miss some topics in there. We'll be moving into 4 and 5 next week. We will do the study for the next 4 weeks after today, and then we will watch part 2 of Holy Ghost Reborn, before we launch into the fall. And I do want to announce, we will have more of this information soon, but I had it confirmed today. My dear friend Latimer Bowen, the prophetic artist who came during the Jack Taylor conference, is going to be coming with her dream team, a couple of other ladies, and they're going to do Unleashing Kingdom Creativity Conference, I think is what we decided to call it. So we're going to do some activation and releasing, and no, you don't have to be a painter or crafty. We were all created in the image of God, and He's creator. So come and explore what God wants to do with that. That is August 19th and 20th here at the church. So, okay? All right. We'll see you Sunday and next Wednesday, hopefully. So y'all be blessed.